Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Claire.
How's it going today?
It's going well.
Good.
How about you?
I'm great.
Good.
Just all interested in what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about, well, the title of the show is There Fire in Your Belly?
Fire in Your Belly?
Yeah. I like that title, Claire. Claire came up with it.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Yes.
And it came out of what we decided the boring title was,
which is inflammatory bowel disease.
Yes. And just a note right at the beginning here that it is something different than what we've talked about before, which was
irritable
bowel syndrome.
Yes.
IBS and IBD being different.
Yeah. They sound kind of IBS, IBD. They sound similar, but definitely different. And so inflammatory bowel disease is a more severe condition. And it's what we describe as a lesional condition versus energetic or functional. So lesional means that if I were to look in the colon of somebody or small intestine of somebody with inflammatory bowel disease, I would be able to see lesions in there, kind of like sores or inflammation or versus...
Is that like Crohn's disease?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So inflammatory bowel disease is also known as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Those are the two main types. There's also microscopic colitis is another one, but the most common ones are Crohn's and ulcerative colitis.
So it actually has several different conditions that are grouped together under that name.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so it is a lesional disease versus an irritable bowel syndrome. That is more of a functional disease where the body is not functioning as expected. Someone has diarrhea or constipation. But if I were to look in that person's colon, then I wouldn't see any issues and there wouldn't be inflammation or mucosal damage or anything like that.
No lesions.
No lesions. Yeah.
Well, I'm all ears to learn more.
Yeah. So I do want to say, though, about the difference in that one does not lead to the other. So... Typically,
that's good to know.
Yeah, typically if you have an irritable bowel syndrome, it does not lead to inflammatory bowel disease. Unless you've been misdiagnosed, you've been having these gastrointestinal symptoms and nobody did a colonoscopy and checked your colon. And they might say, you have these symptoms, you just have irritable bowel syndrome. I've heard of people that years later, they got a colonoscopy and it was like, no, you have an irritable inflammatory bowel disease.
So you said a colonoscopy because that's the large intestine that's scoped, right?
Yes. Yep.
So irritable bowel, inflammatory bowel disease is lesions in the large intestine?
Yeah. And it can be small intestine too.
Oh, it can.
And so let's talk about the two different kinds. So with Crohn's disease, it can actually affect the entire gastrointestinal tract. Most commonly, it's the last part of the small intestine before it becomes the large intestine. But oftentimes, people with Crohn's will have mouth sores because that is considered part of our gastrointestinal tract, our mouth. They may have issues in the stomach and then commonly the small intestine. And they may also have large intestine involvement. But small intestine is most common in Crohn's. Whereas ulcerative colitis, it's usually the colon only.
What causes it?
It's a good question. It's autoimmune disease. So that means it's our immune system attacking our body and causing the inflammation. And so as we talked about in our autoimmune disease show, we don't have any concrete answers as to what causes autoimmune disease. We just have ideas about, it's the imbalance of the immune system. So stress, heavy metals, toxins, some food, bugs, bad bugs, anything that can affect our immune system. So, yeah. So as far as the symptoms of both, usually both have diarrhea. Ulcerative colitis is usually bloody, usually weight loss, especially if the condition is really severe, people will lose weight. They may have abdominal pains. And yeah, those are the main things. Bloody, diarrhea, I think I said that was more with ulcerative colitis, not so much with Crohn's. But they are both autoimmune diseases, and there's risks with them. There's a risk of malnutrition with both because these people often are not absorbing their foods or the nutrients well. There is a higher risk of cancer for both. And there are other symptoms that are associated, and I don't, off the top of my head, I don't remember the specifics, but things with the eye is a big thing, with the joints.
Can it be an inherited kind of thing?
Well, we do think that genetics plays a part in autoimmune disease, but it's not the only thing. There has to be some kind of trigger. And so, yes, I mean, you know, it may run in families. So, yeah. So just to move on to talk about treatments. So conventional treatment, often, obviously, they have medications that they give to people with these conditions. They can be, you know, very, I say simple. I don't know if it's really simple is the right word, but steroids, so like prednisone. So do you know what prednisone does, Claire?
Not exactly, but I know you don't want to stay on it for very long if you can help it.
Yeah. So it's basically an immunosuppressant. So it will suppress the immune system. So,
but doesn't that make you likely to pick up something else?
A bug, yeah.
If your immune system's compromised?
Yeah, yeah. Which we're going to talk about. Because there's like I said, prednisone, such as steroid, is kind of a simpler one that they often give to people when they're having an acute flare to get them under control. And then they often have long-term drugs that they give. Some amino salicylates is one of them. That's one of the more minor ones. But then there's also some stronger ones, immunomodulators or biologics. And so biologics are the newest class of medications. And they're, I feel, the most potent too. They basically, what they are is they're antibodies produced by living organisms that are used to block the immune system. And so like you said, when we are blocking the immune system, there is a risk of other infections. And there have been stories of people that were on their immunomodulator or their biologic drug, and they were feeling amazing. Let's say I'm thinking of a different rheumatoid arthritis, which is also an autoimmune disease, like being on one of these drugs, feeling amazing, and then getting a very serious infection and actually dying from that.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it can be serious. And, you know, and there's side effects also that come along with the medications. And so
that's true for most medications, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely true.
Even certain foods have side effects.
Well, really? Like what?
Like beans. Beans. beans.
Because,
how about beans?
Because we don't, nobody really contains the enzyme galactase to digest the galactose. Is it galactose? Yeah, galactose. Molecules that are bound together. So yes, okay, there you go. Side effects with beans.
Dairy. Sometimes people have side effects with dairy, either from the casein or the lactose.
That's true. Yeah, so these drugs are, they can be, you know, dangerous. And not to say that, you know, people should not be taking them, but I do encourage people to search out other things. Either at the same time while they're doing those medications, or if they're not in a serious situation before they would go on to those drugs,
You know what? I just noticed I made a slight mistake. What I wanted to say was the proteins in milk or the lactose in milk.
Oh,
Casein is one of the types of protein. Mm-hmm. Another one is whey. So some people always think it's lactose, and sometimes it's the type of proteins and amino acids in the dairy product that's actually part of their issue.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't even notice your mistake. So
well,
thank you for correcting
Not that I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So this just sounds much more debilitating than some other gut issues.
Absolutely.
It really it forces people serious. To pay more attention.
Yeah. I mean, these people, they can't, like you said, oftentimes people just be like, oh, I have this gas or I have a little bit of diarrhea, but that's the way life is. No, these people are usually not able to do that. They're losing weight.
Are they in pain?
They can be in pain. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to the doctor. So, which is good. It's important. You know, mm-hmm. we have to identify it. Eventually, if people are untreated, they can have to have their colon, part of their colon removed, or their ileum, which is part of the small intestine that I was talking about, the last part of it. Yeah. And then sometimes people will form strictures in their intestines, which is kind of like a scar tissue. Basically, that causes blockages in the intestines.
Not good.
Yeah.
So that would lead possibly to the need for surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will actually break up those strictures to try to open up the bowel better or the small intestine better.
So can you, with the drugs and maybe some lifestyle things, would I say deactivate the condition at least? Or is it if you've got it, you've got it?
Well, definitely.
Can you get rid of it completely?
People go into remission. They say remission because, I mean, if you ask a conventional doctor, they'll say, you know, this person will have this for the rest of their life. And it may be that it, you know, they're fine for 10 years, they're in remission, and then all of a sudden they have a flare, which I often see with stress. Stress will precipitate these kind of things because stress throws the immune system off, and then they will have a recurrence. And so I don't like to say like, oh, you're going to be suffering with this for the rest of your life, but it's something that we all have our areas of weakness. And mm-hmm. so it's something that they're going to have to, you know, pay attention to and pay attention to stress and all that. So, yeah.
So we certainly would like people to go back and listen to our two stress presentations.
That's
because
true.
It does seem to have an impact on every aspect of our health and wellness.
Yeah,
and every
totally.
Organ and system can be at the mercy of stress, which is a hormonal response by the body that we don't really have any control over. When it happens, the most control we have is to balance it and de-stress mm-hmm. in whatever way works for us.
Yeah, it's just amazing. The more patients I see in my practice, the more I'm just thoroughly convinced that stress is the culprit of a lot of illness. And so,
it's
inspiring me.
Stress is often when there's dissonance between the life we'd like to be living and the life that we are living.
Yeah.
So it can be, you know, relational. It can be dietary, mm-hmm. it can be work-related, you know, a lot of different places that we can be experiencing stress.
Yeah.
Just in our life, and then it affects our health.
Yep.
So if we want a good life in general and good health, we just really need to address stress. We need to pay a lot more attention to it. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. Good one. Good one, Claire. Well, I'll just take a break here to say you're listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH. And I am Dr. Lisa Morse, and I'm here with Claire DeNice, health coach and personal trainer. And we're talking about inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. I also want to say that thank you to our sponsor, Windermere, for supporting the Voice of Vashon. So I wanted to talk about naturopathic treatment. So we talked about conventional treatment, and how naturopaths will view inflammatory bowel disease. And so, of course, it's always what's causing this condition. And we know it's the immune system out of balance, but what's causing the immune system to be out of balance? And so is it environmental? Like, is it your diet? Is it your stress level? Are you smoking? Is it have to do with the microbiome. So that's a hot new topic. You know, I don't say that word a lot, but talking about your gut flora is your microbiome. So how is our diet affecting our microbiome? How is the stress affecting our microbiome? Are we taking antibiotics? And then, you know, balancing the immune system. So obviously medications can be life-saving and can improve the quality of life and help people avoid surgery, help them to heal, help them to absorb their nutrients. But we can't forget about the whole person analysis and uncovering ideologies and causes. That's super important. And so often what I'll start with is a stool analysis, because we want to check what kind of stool or what bugs are in the stool. So
can I stop you just for a second there? When you're doing a stool analysis, this is something people do at home. I've actually seen an advertisement.
Really?
But I think it's really for a colonoscopy with some kind of a kit that you can get at home and you mail it in or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it, do you have to go to a hospital? Does a doctor, how do you do that?
Yeah. So your conventional doctor, MD, will sometimes do a stool. They'll have you collect your stool at home. They don't test for a lot of things. The tests that I do, same thing. I send you home with a kit and you collect your stool and then you mail it in. And so the companies that I use, like Doctors Data or Genova or Diagnostics, they are testing the bugs in your gut, and they're checking for a lot of different bugs. They're checking for pathogenic bacteria. They're checking for the yeast, which I know we talked about in the last show. It doesn't always show up very well, but they check for parasites and eggs of parasites. And so that's the bugs of the stool analysis.
And what you're looking for specifically is whatever would be linked to their having IBD, right?
Right. Well, so the thing is,
because I know you can test for a zillion things and all of those tests are expensive and
individualized. I'm checking for the bugs. I mean, there's nothing really, actually there probably is some research studies saying certain bugs that are associated with inflammatory bowel disease, but the idea is that these bugs skew the immune system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so we're checking the bugs. We're also, like you said, with the stool analysis, we can check for other things. We can check for digestive markers. You know, is their pancreas working well? Are they digesting their fats well? And then checking for protective markers. So there's something called short chain fatty acids, which are produced in the gut, and they're produced by the bugs, I believe, and they're like nutrition for the colonic cells. And so do they have an adequate amount of short chain fatty acids? And then inflammatory markers like calprotectin. I know this is getting real sciencey here, but just that helps to give me an indication of how much inflammation is in the gut, and we can monitor that. So we can try, you know, different treatments, and then we can check it again and see if they're improving. So there's lots of things to test for in the stool analysis.
And that's your first test that you usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, as a naturopath, our tests are a little bit more extensive than your conventional. They usually don't order these kinds of things. They'll maybe check for like salmonella and shigella and then call it a day, but or C. diff or some of the big heavy hitter bugs.
Hmm.
So first test is the stool analysis. Then we're going to actually talk about foods too. Now there's specific diets that have been shown to be helpful for inflammatory bowel disease. One of them is called the SCD diet. It's a specific carbohydrate diet. And there's a book out there. It's called Breaking the Vicious Cycle, about a woman who cured her daughter of Crohn's disease. So she used the word cure.
Wow.
Her daughter was, yeah. And so it is a challenging diet to follow, but I have had patients that do well on that.
What is it in a nutshell?
Well, it's eating no grains, no potatoes. And it has to do with the bugs in the gut, and that these kind of starchy things feed those bugs and cause an imbalance. Other times people will follow Paleolithic diet, which is often
similar.
Yeah, it's very similar, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's for autoimmune diseases. If people are really, really sick, sometimes they'll do an elemental diet, which is basically this like powder that you mix with water. I've heard it's very gross. But if their gut is really, really inflamed and just can't handle eating foods at that time, the elemental diet has all the calories and the nutrition that the body needs. And so sometimes people are really sick, they will do that.
So it sounds like, in a way, the alimentary canal gets to rest.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also just, you know, checking for food intolerances or food allergies, what people aren't digesting well or what they might be allergic to, which there's various ways we can do that. And I think we've talked about that in other shows. But the common ones are dairy, wheat, eggs, fish are some big ones. And so just figuring that out for people, helping them figure that out so that we can get them the right diet is important in inflammatory bowel disease. Okay, so we talked about stool, we talked about foods, and then there's also a test for stress that I do.
Coming up again.
Yeah. So it's called the ASI test, Adrenal Stress Index. And I don't know if we've talked about this on the air before, but we're checking the saliva 4 times a day. We must have talked about this in our adrenal show. I'm sure we did.
Yeah. We might have. I've heard of it before, yeah. So I can't remember if it's from having talked about it before or just having heard about it someplace else.
So we're checking the cortisol 4 times a day in the morning, noon, afternoon, and evening. And then we're also checking the DHEA, which is a hormone that is a precursor to many steroid hormones, including cortisol. Actually, it's a precursor to sex hormones. But the point is that we want to have the right ratio of cortisol to DHEA. Cortisol is what we call a catabolic hormone. It breaks things down. DHEA is an anabolic hormone. It builds things up. And so if we have too much cortisol, too much breaking down, as opposed to too little DHEA, too much building up, it can be a problem. And so sometimes I give DHEA to people.
Are they both tested in the saliva? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get a ratio. The ratio should be around 5 to 6, cortisol to DHEA. Sometimes people are like 60. That's
Whoa.
The ratio. Yeah.
That's and a big so, difference.
Yeah, so they're not getting enough healing and they're getting too much breaking down, not enough building up. And so we can give DHEA, but we also must address the stress. You know, because we make cortisol when we're stressed. So, So working on sleep, mental, emotional, work-life balance, all that stuff is important. Okay. And then what else? So we said stool, foods, stress, nutrients, making sure that you're on a good multivitamin, making sure that, you know, inflammatory bowel disease patients, they're not anemic. They often can be anemic.
Can I stop you for 1 second when you said a good multivitamin?
Yeah.
How do you know that if you stand
it's
in super supplements,
oh,
there's
yeah.
7,000 kinds of.
Yeah, you got to talk to your naturopath.
Okay.
I mean, it's really hard. And I think we've talked about this on the show before with supplements out there. It's not regulated. Supplement industry is not regulated by the FDA. We don't really know. Anyone can go out there and make a supplement. So you want to find companies that you know have tested their supplements. And then also that you have the right forms of the minerals and the vitamins that are getting absorbed well. So you want to talk to your naturopath.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good. So there is a new, I don't want to say new, it's not new, but there's a medication out there that a lot of naturopaths have been using called low-dose naltrexone. And so naltrexone is actually a drug. When it's in high dose, it's used for drug addiction. It's very interesting. So, and I don't even know how long ago this came to market, but at a low dose of like 1.5 milligrams to or 3 or 4 or 5 milligrams, as opposed to 50 milligrams, this medication is being used for autoimmune disorders, particularly inflammatory bowel disease. We don't really know how it works. We know it increases the production of endorphins, which are those feel-good molecules.
Yeah, people would like that.
Right.
Especially if they weren't feeling well.
Right, right. And so that is something sometimes that I consider for patients with inflammatory bowel disease. But obviously, you have to talk to your doctor about it. And then, of course, there's all kinds of other things that we can do to help people with inflammatory bowel disease. There's a formula called Robert's formula. It's an old time formula. Evidently, I think the story is about Robert and he had Crohn's disease. He developed this formula of herbs that are soothing herbs for the GI. Some of them are antimicrobial, but helpful for Crohn's disease. Let's see.
What do you think about bee products?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm really actually getting into bee products right now.
Really?
I know we talked about bee products a little bit on our radio show, Superfoods, but I've been reading this book. Actually, it was the book that Eliyahu Stahl, who was on our show, mentioned. It was Healing with Whole Foods. I ended up getting it. And they're just talking about the bee products and how they are really good for people who are deficient. So in Chinese medicine, they talk about deficiency versus excess, and where like deficiency people are people who are maybe more soft-spoken, you know, usually on the thinner side, kind of weaker, versus people who are in excess. They're like very, very robust and, you know, maybe bigger boned and like more loud-spoken. I don't know if that's the right word.
I'd like to read it.
It's really good. It's an interesting book. But anyway, so you have a lot of people that are more people that are deficient than are excess that come to see me. And so I've been reading about the bee products, and royal jelly in particular is really helpful for
pollen. I've added pollen to smoothies before.
Yeah.
And what triggered the thought was just that so many bees live in a very close environment inside a hive that I think I've read that they secrete something in their saliva when they're building their cone, the honeycomb. And it's microbial, antimicrobial, antifungal, and antibacterial, because otherwise since they all go out and fly around and come back, they'd be bringing back all kinds of things and they'd kill each other off.
Yeah. Super interesting.
So their products having these this functionality could be good for us.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, interesting. So more on that at some time.
Okay.
Like after I've researched it a little bit more. But I think we're getting close to running out of time here. But I just do want to say there's a myriad of things that can be helpful. You know, like I said, the Robert's formula, fish oils. The butyrate, which is simpler, related to the short chain fatty acids that I talked about earlier. There's just a lot of things.
This sounds like they'll be coming to see you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I can't really go into detail about all these things here because there's just a myriad of things and options to help people. And so I really encourage people who have this condition out there to find somebody that can help them with it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Fern Cove Medicine.
That's right.
Good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a free 15-minute consultation if you're interested in just chatting about how I can help you. So I think we're going to sign off now. And I really enjoyed our show today, Claire.
I did too. Yeah. And I've got some good clarification.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and take care.
Have a great day.